can't praise him down here, you don't want to go to heaven. Can I say it again?
Right.
If you can't praise God down here, you're going to be carrying on up there.
Right.
Amen. We got to learn to praise him down here. We have to learn to love one another. When we were down there being in a Bible Belt, Augusta, Georgia, churches everywhere. Every time you turn around, you see a church. On the way down there, you see crosses on the highway, different religious signs. And it just makes me realize, and it should make you realize, there is no getting away from God.
Amen?
Amen. How are you going to get away from God? You chew on that a little bit. There's no getting away from God. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. There's no getting away from God. We come from God, and guess what? Come on, talk to me.
Go back to him.
We come from God and what?
Go back to him.
What's on the other hand?
Go back.
We're going to what?
Go back to him.
We're going to go back to God. Think about it. God created every last one of us. Every atheist, every agnostic, every hater of God, everyone that's involved in witchcraft, voodoo, you name it, the list goes on. We all come from God. He created us all. And every last one of us, it's hard to comprehend, but it's the Bible, are going to stand before him one day and give an account for what we've done in these bodies. Amen. Mm-hmm. The theme down there was taken from the second chapter of the book of Acts. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Acts, second chapter. I went down there, mind made up to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Got down there, heard the rich word, and now my mind's just made up that much more to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, amen?
Amen?
I have a flyer here, and I brought some back, and I don't have too many, but I was thinking about the saints, so I can pass some out to you all, because being saved is everything.
Yes, sir.
I said, being saved is everything. Can I get some amens?
Amen.
Like Ella Miller, am I by myself in here?
Yeah.
Can I get some amens?
Amen.
Being saved is everything. Amen?
Amen.
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 Walking with the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. Amen.
Amen.
This is our life. This is our life. Now, I'm not going to hold you long, but I got a word, and it's going to just skim the surface of what the theme was down there. But this is our life. It's a life that we have entered into. It's not a just go to church on Sunday. It's not just play gospel music on Sunday. It's not a just read my Bible on Sunday and then live from Monday to Saturday like a devil. This is our life. Amen?
Amen?
It is a life that we have entered into. And if we have entered into this life of godliness and holiness and Christianity, then we must have been delivered from a life. Amen?
Amen.
Delivered from spiritual darkness. Mm-hmm. Into this marvelous light.
Yeah.
Now, you can't walk halfway in the light and halfway in the darkness. Now, can you? Mess around and be lost. Those that are lukewarm in the faith, those that are straddling the fence, what's that, Ella Mackey? I want to be saved, and then I don't want to be saved. I want to be saved, but I want to have my foot in the world just a little bit. I want to have my cake, and I want to eat it too. You got to make your mind up. There has to come a point in time in your walk of God. Can I just talk a little bit, Ella? Can I be led by the Spirit just a little bit? There has to come a time in your walk of God where your mind's got to be made up.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Your mind's got to be made up.
Amen.
I mean, either I'm in this thing or I'm not in this thing. And I heard someone say, why go to hell in a Volkswagen when you can go in a Cadillac? What's that supposed to mean? In other words, if you play in church, you're going to be lost anyway. You might as well just go on out there and live for the devil. Quiet, huh? Quiet, huh? After coming from Georgia and being down there, it gave me a deeper appreciation for salvation.
Hallelujah.
At this point in time, you can't be saved for nobody else anyway, but at this point in time, we have to have our minds made up and our hearts fixed that we're going all the way with Jesus. Come what may, whoever gives up, whoever throws in the towel, you have to have, and I have to have, a made up mind, I'm going to live for Jesus. And I want you to understand this thing. And I was sharing with young Booker T, Bishop Sutherland. I was sharing with him, I said, as the coming of the Lord gets closer, and I've talked to you about this, the way is going to get straighter. And as everybody go like this, put your hands up, come on. And the way is going to get narrower. Come on, put them together, it's going to get narrower. And the way is going to get narrower. And come on, put them hands together, and the way is going to get narrower. And you see, with that narrow way, you can't fit everything in there, amen? Lies aren't going to fit in there. Backbiting's not going to fit in there. Homosexuality and lesbianism is not going to fit in there, amen? Come on. Dipping and dabbing and being lukewarm, it's just too tight, it's not going to fit. Backbiting and hatred, jealousy, envy, and strife, it's not going to fit in there because it's too narrow. And that which is done in darkness, the Bible says, shall be brought to the light. You can't play this thing. Either you're for real or you're not for real. And the word down there was so rich. I mean, there's some fireball women preachers down there. Good. Had me jumping up out of my seat. Women preaching like men. They was preaching the word. And it made me appreciate what God has done for me to be. You and I don't realize what we are part of. It was a thing. And they continued. Yes. Who are the they? We are the they.
Right.
Second chapter of Acts. I like for you to stand out of reverence of reading the word of God. Second chapter of Acts, those that have them. We're going to read verses 14 through 17, and then we're going to jump over to verse 38 and read through verse 42. Can we do that?
Amen.
Those that have it, can you say amen?
Amen.
Let us read. But Peter, standing up at the 11th, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my word. These are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now let's go over to verse 38. Do you have it?
Amen.
Let us read.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in
Father, this afternoon. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your rich word. We thank you for the truth, Lord. For your word has declared that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We thank you for bringing us down to Georgia and bringing us back safe and sound. Oh, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you just speak to us this afternoon. Help us to hide the word in our heart. Let some soul may cry out, what must I do to be saved? Now, Lord God, put a conviction in our heart. Help us to appreciate what we have. Help us not to take your goodness for granted. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to go back to verse 42. Take our theme from verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Heard that scripture all week long. From Tuesday, Wednesday, from Wednesday to Friday, heard that scripture. And I like to just take for a little thought, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There's only one truth this afternoon, and that's God's word, amen? God's word does not contradict itself. God's word is his own commentary. It's his own interpreter. The word of God interprets itself. Scripture interprets scripture. The word church is taken from the Greek word ecclesia. It means called out. You and I, who are a part of the church, we have been called out. Called out of spiritual darkness. And now we're walking in this marvelous light. Here in our scripture on the day of Pentecost is when the church first started. If it wasn't for the book of Acts, there wouldn't be no epistles. It's amazing how the New Testament is aligned. You first have the four gospels, amen? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That tells of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what's the next book after St. John's gospel? What's the book? Book of Acts. The book of Acts is the history or the origin of the church. We are still living in the book of Acts. Yes. And we're living in the book of Revelations. If it wasn't for the book of Acts experience, there would be no one to write to. The book of Acts shows us what we have to do to be saved. The epistles show us how to live saved. Amen? Amen? Amen. We're serving a God of order. And so in order for you to find out what you have to do to be saved, you go to the book of Acts. It's the history of the church. And this precious apostolic doctrine that we are a part of, it is not a heresy. Paul the apostle, who was Saul of Tarsus, he did not know who Jesus was in the beginning. He was spiritually blind to who Jesus was. And in the beginning, we were not called Christians. We were called the followers of the way. This is what we were called. The word Christian didn't come until the 11th chapter of Acts in the city of Antioch. And when they came out with this word Christian, the city of Antioch was famous for giving off nicknames to certain events that happened. And they gave the name of the followers of the way Christian as a form of mockery. I studied and I looked it up. The name of Christian came out of a form of mockery. They were mocking the followers of Christ because that's what they were called in the beginning, the followers of the way. the followers of the way. This is what they were continually steadfast in. They were continually being steadfast in the way. So the name Christian came out first as a mockery. But look at the sovereignty of God. Amen? Amen. They meant it for the evil, but God meant it for the what?
Good.
Good. Just like Joseph told his brothers. Didn't he tell them? Yes, what you had done to me, you meant it for the evil. But God turned it around and used it for the good.
Yes.
So you and I are called Christians. And everything and every label of Christian isn't really Christ-like. Everybody that calls themselves Christian is not Christ-like. Everybody that calls themselves Christians are not continuing to be steadfast in the way. In these last and evil days, and I'm not going to get into a lot of church doctrine because it's too lengthy and you have to have a revelation of God to get into all that we believe in. But I want you to know there's only one God. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
There's no three persons. Come on, talk to me. There's only one God. This is a part of the apostles' doctrine, the belief in one God. It runs from Genesis all the way through Revelation, the oneness of God. One of the things I was thinking and dwelling on when we were down in Georgia, and they continue steadfastly. One of the things concerning Christianity is that we have to follow the Lord Jesus' teachings. Amen?
Amen.
The doctrine means teaching. The apostles' doctrine means that they got it from Jesus,
yes,
and they continued on with it. One of the attributes of the things that distinguish us is the love of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
And in these last evil days, if you call yourself a Christian, a child of God, the love of Christ should be manifested in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And that's one of the things that's lacking in Christianity. The love of Christ. If we call ourselves Christ-like, and they had an old adage, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Matter of fact, there's a video, a movie about this man. He's a stranger. And he's an angel, really, and he goes from town to town, and he shows and reveals to people what's really in their hearts, and they call themselves Christians. It's a real good movie. Maybe we'll show it one time for the whole church. But the name of the movie is WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? This continuing in the steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, you and I are supposed to be doing what Jesus would do. In any given situation, any given situation, if we're followers of Christ, then we should have the works of Christ following us. Amen? Oh, y'all weak this afternoon. Amen?
Amen.
That's better. In these last and evil days, God wants us to be the light and the salt of the world. Light and salt, light and salt. There's a lot of people that out there think they have the truth, but what they have is imitation. What they have is artificial. Jesus stood up boldly and he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Didn't he say that? If we're following Jesus, then we must follow after Jesus. What did Jesus do? One of the things you and I need to do whenever we come into a situation, we need to say to ourselves, WWJD, what would Jesus do in this situation? When it comes time for me to make a stand for Christ, if I'm in school or on my job, and among saved people are in the midst of me, and they're telling dirty jokes, or they're making fun of somebody, WWJD, what would Jesus do? If I'm in a situation and my boss is asking me to do something and I know it's wrong, WWJD, what would Jesus do? If I'm in my community and I have an opportunity to lift up Christ, and because I'm ashamed of him, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. if, and I want you to understand this thing, we all are guilty, but to go into the grocery store and pick up something and start chewing on it and eating it, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Amen? I'm getting somebody's attention now. We have to be so careful of what we're doing. God is monitoring our lives. He's watching our very step. Amen? We have to be careful of what we say. Amen? WWJD, what would Jesus do? When somebody gets in our face and blows some smoke and gets us upset, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Would he react in a mean way, or would he humble himself? Now, I know he turned over the tables in the temple, and that was just a little touch or taste of the wrath of God. But when Judas came in the garden and kissed him with the kiss of betrayal, what did he do? He called him friend. Now, if you know somebody's lying on you, backbiting, and then they're going to come and smile on your face, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Every last one of us who calls ourselves a child of God, we're going to have an opportunity to prove ourselves. We're going to have an opportunity to be in a situation to WWJD, what would Jesus do? And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. In these last and evil days that we're living in, and I want you to know, evil is everywhere, amen? Amen. Especially this time of the year. October 31st, we all know what that day is, right? It's another day of the Lord. That's what it really is. But in this walk of God, and this is the way it has to be. God doesn't save us to put us on a mountain somewhere or to hide us in a cave somewhere. Didn't he say in the 5th chapter of Matthew, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid? He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works. Let your light so shine that, everybody look at me, let your light so shine that men may what? And do what?
Glorify God.
Somebody's got to see Jesus in us. Somebody's got to, it's not so much of what we say, but it's the way we live and the way we carry ourselves. The way we live and the way we carry ourselves carries much more weight than what we say. Amen? Now watch this. Because some of the Bible that some people may ever read will be the life we live. Some people will never read this, but they'll read our lives. Every last one of us were being watched every day. You don't know it. Your community, school, job. Devil's got his eye on all of us. God's angels got their eyes on us. God's got his eyes on us. And the unsaved got their eyes on us. Those who are walking in spiritual darkness are watching you and I. Everything we see and do, we're under the scrutiny of everybody. We're on display. We're on display to give God glory. We're on display to give him honor. We're on display to give him glory, honor, and praise. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter with me. We're on display. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. 1 Peter 2nd chapter, verse number 9. We are on display. First Peter, second chapter, verse number 9. I'll read this. But ye are a what? Chosen generation. A what?
Royal
priesthood. A what?
Holy
nation. A what kind of people?
Peculiar.
Peculiar people. That ye should what?
Show forth praise to him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Woo! We are a display. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar in the sense that we're different from those that are unsaved. Peculiar in the sense that we always want to talk about God. We always want to talk about the Bible. Peculiar in the sense that we're always playing gospel music. Peculiar in the sense that our conversation is all about Jesus and it's about heaven. And it's about being saved, amen? That's what makes us peculiar. Because when you're walking in spiritual darkness, you're either going to run from this conversation about God, or you're going to be drawn to it. We're peculiar people. We have to be steadfast in Christ. We have to have our minds made up about serving God. People are watching us. Now watch this, because this is what it's all about. You and I, who are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, you and I, who are peculiar people, a royal name, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, you and I, we can get in the way of somebody coming to God. Now you chew on this a little bit. By the way we conduct ourselves, it can hinder somebody from coming to Jesus. If we're half-stepping, if we're not living for him like we're supposed to be, if we're not letting our light shine like we're supposed to be, you can be hindering somebody. Somebody can be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, but if we're not living for him like we're supposed to, we can be blocking somebody from being saved. Folks are always talking about, why go to church? Ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites in there. Yes! Yes, there's hypocrites in the church. And they're going to be there until Jesus comes. But that don't stop you and I from coming and being saved. The Bible speaks about tares and the wheat. God will deal with the tares and the wheat. God said, let them stay there. The church is a hospital. That's what we learned down there. We knew it before. But you're supposed to have sick folks up in here. You're supposed to have mentally disturbed folks up in here. Because if they can't get help in here, the world can't help them. Depression is a spirit. And only the Holy Ghost can deliver from depression. Amen? Not no pill. You look at the news on the commercial and they got pills for you to take for depression. And then before the commercial's over, they give you all these side effects that'll kill you. That's man's answer. But God's answer is the Word. And you and I are the living Word. We are living epistles, read and known by all men. We have to, if we're going to continue on steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, those that are walking in darkness must see some light. Amen? And like you and I know, a little light is a whole lot of light in the midst of darkness. In the natural, I've told you, one little night light in a dark room will illuminate the whole room. Just enough so you can see your way. The Word of God says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God shows you and I how to walk. How to talk, how to behave ourselves, how to conduct ourselves the way God wants us to behave, the way he wants us to conduct ourselves. This word is a light. Either the word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word of God. You can put that in the book. It's time to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? Following after Jesus. You see, you got to understand. His kingdom is coming down here to earth. Can I say it again?
Yes, sir.
Can I say it again?
Yes,
can I say it again?
Come on,
His kingdom is coming to earth. You read the word of God, it tells you that. Jesus, let me say, Jesus has got to come. And it'll be his second time. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the first time, he came and proclaimed about the king that was coming. You and I are the church. We are the forerunners of Christ's second coming. We are proclaiming his second coming. Those that are not saved will not be a part of his kingdom. You and I are kings and priests, and we're going to rule and reign with him. That's enough right there to be faithful to God. I'm going to give me a glorified body that will never feel pain, that won't have no more evil thoughts. And I'm going to be lost over some foolishness out there. Think about it. I preached that message last year. There's nothing worth going to hell for. Be lost over what? The unsaved, those out there that are just doing all kind of wickedness. They need what we have. When we got down there to Georgia, they had a complimentary breakfast in the morning. I went down there, and they had the television on. The same sin that's here is down there. Folks acting up down there. Shooting and killing. Foolishness. Boom, one thing after another. Boom, boom, boom. I'm sitting there watching. And I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. Thank you for having a mind to be saved. Those folks out there have a void in their life. Those folks out there have an emptiness in their soul. And only Christ can fill that void. And they're trying to fill it with everything they can. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And they're coming up empty. Jesus says in the 16th chapter of Matthew, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and in the end lose his soul? What would he give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is everything. And we're only coming this way once. So if you're in Christ, stay in Christ. If you're in Christ, get wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Christ. Because brothers and sisters, in the end, and it's really not the end, it's just the end of the beginning. It'll be when he comes, or when we die and expire and go on to paradise, it'll be the end of all this mess down here and the beginning of all glory for us. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
He delivered us out of spiritual darkness. Think about the ones that are lost, your unsaved loved ones, the unsaved people in your community, the unsaved students in your school, the unsaved co-workers on your job. Think about their souls. Pray for them. I still pray for those that I grew up with. Some of them are still in this area. And Lord have mercy, they don't want to have nothing to do with this. I thought I knew them. I didn't know them. I mean, I talked to this one fellow. We played sports. We played ball and everything. And Mac, can you believe that book? I said, yes. Man wrote that book. I said, yes. I said, but the Bible's all the Bible, Bobby. I said, the Bible says holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then he said, Matt, you believe in death, life after death? I said, yes, I believe life after death. Well, how do you know, Mackie? How do you know there's life after death? You ain't never. I said, no, I haven't died. I said, but I believe the word of God. The word of God tells us there's life after death. Oh, here we go, right back to that book. Yes! We went full circle, right back. I choose to believe the word of God. The word of God is real. If you don't think it's real, look out there. See, all that out there ain't news. Oh, all that out there that's happening was written in here years ago. Amen? It is just a fulfillment of what's been written in here. Ain't no news. This is the news right here. Amen? You want to read some news, pick your Bible up. From Genesis to Revelation. stop. You and I are a big, we don't realize, those of us who are saved, we don't realize what we are a part of. We are the apple of God's eye. We are the center of his will. Satan has to get permission from God to touch us. He can't touch us unless God, and it only comes, trials only come to make us strong and not to overthrow us. We must have a mind made up that I'm going to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We're living in this walk of God. We are living to hear our Lord and Savior say, well done. Well done. Thy good and faithful what? He ain't going to say bishop. He ain't going to say elder. He's not going to say deacon. Amen. Titles don't mean a thing if you ain't got a life to back it up. Can I say it again? I'm going to say it again anyway. Titles don't mean a thing if you ain't got nothing to back it up. You can have all these degrees on the wall. You can have 100 books that you've written. But if you ain't living nothing, you ain't going to be saved. He's not going to say. As a matter of fact, in part of the Gospels, he's going to say, in that day many shall come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did not we cast out devils in thy name? Did not we do many miracles in thy name? And then he's going to say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Woo! Can you imagine that? Then they were doing it in his name. So were the Pharisees, amen? So were the Sadducees. But he's going to say to them, depart from me. I had a TV ministry. I had a mega church.
Come on.
Depart from me. I never knew you. But depart from me. But I had all these people following me. And where were they going? If the blind lead the blind, they're going to what? And they continue steadfast. Yes. It's time to continue steadfast. Because brothers and sisters, time is short. Yes. Time is short. And the devil knows that his time is short. Yes. And he's on an all-out rant. Pray for those that have backslid. That's why when we pray for backsliders, Lord, take sleep away from them. It's better that God takes sleep away from you and you toss and turn, and because God will chase you in your dreams. Amen. I mean, God, we're talking about a mighty God. Yes. After you've done all your dirt during the day, and you lay your head on the pillow at night, here comes God. Yes. Here comes God. Yes. Coming right after you. Right. You can't get away from God. He'll deal with you in your dreams. In your suffering. What a mighty God we serve. And believe me, I know I've had some dreams. And the Bible talks about people having dreams. And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. This afternoon, my mind's made up. My heart is fixed. The only thing we good for is serving God. And I'm not going to talk about the egg minister me. But the only thing you're good for is serving God. Why don't we just let God have his way? Why don't we just throw up our arms and say, Lord, I surrender my all. I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to make up my mind. I'm coming to church no matter who's there. I'm going to make up my mind. I'm coming to the prayer meeting no matter who's there. I'm going to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine no matter who does. Let's make up our mind. Let's be faithful to God. Let's continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Praise the Lord.